Good morning, my beautiful friend.
And if you see Anne Morgan, then you will know Anne Morgan.
This is some music, I think, from maybe the 70s or perhaps even the 60s. A group called Love.
Then you feel your heart beating from bum.
And this particular song is called And More Again, which is why I selected it. I like the name, And More Again. Sometimes what happens when I turn on the recorder to say hello to you, to say, here we are again, Sunday, time for us to sit across that virtual table from one another. Sometimes there's nothing there, and it's really, I was going to say scary, which is kind of a big word. It's not really scary. It's a little disconcerting. And then on another hand, it's peaceful, both. I think last week I was talking to you about my friend Sean's phrase, we contain multitudes. And that just dropped in for me right now in this feeling of, oh my goodness, there's nothing left, right? There's this like initial, like, I don't have something that matters to talk to you about, which of course is not true. There's so many things always, always, both inside of us and around us in this huge world and in the communities that we live in. There's so many things, of course, that matter. And yet in the moment, there was just this like blankness, which also was a resting place. And I guess that's my starting place, right? Which in my spiritual practice, there's this beautiful phrase that of course is eluding me at the moment, but it has to do with the portal is this moment. The portal is right here. And what that means in terms of our practice is that, like, we don't have to go searching around for, you know, what wants to be seen or what wants to be noticed or what wants to be reflected upon or meditated upon or what is the current koan in my life, but more so that this moment informs everything. And I love that I'm having that experience as I'm talking to you. So I sit down, I've got my coffee. Let me take a little sip because it just called to me. And what I have is this moment, what I have is, oh, interesting, blank, and also a little bit of anxiety or fear or feeling a little unsettled by that, right? So that's what's here. That is what this human being is living in this moment. Now, already, I have to say, it shifted. So as I was explaining to you what was going on, I glanced down and I'm in my workspace, my studio that I love. And I glanced down and there's maybe it's a tiny poem or maybe it's a quote. It doesn't really matter what you call it. And I'm going to read it to you because here is the portal, right? Now here is the new, this is what's in this moment. Here's what it says. I have a large let's see if I can say that word, seashell. I have a large seashell collection, which I keep scattered on beaches all over the world. Maybe you've seen it. And that's Stephen Wright. I'm going to read it again. I have a large seashell collection, which I keep scattered on beaches all over the world. Maybe you've seen it. Stephen Wright. And I can't remember now where I saw this, but I'm re-delighted all over again, and I'm so grateful to my my younger self, whoever printed it up. I don't even know if it was like a week ago or a month ago. I really have absolutely, it's almost as if this piece of paper just landed on my desk, you know, by some elves last night to read to you. I love that, by the way, that you know, I love that that just dropped in, that, you know, there's that old fairy tale where the, I think it was a shoemaker would wake up and all the shoes would be made. And it, this feels to me like that, like maybe some elf came in last night and left this for me. That's just as good of a possibility as anything. I have a large seashell collection, which I keep scattered on beaches all over the world. Maybe you've seen it. And what delights me so much about this, I'm sure that along the way I've spoken to you about my my relationship with stuff. And my relationship with stuff has been very, very up lately, as in the sense of I'm really exploring deeply why I keep what I keep, what I want to do about things. As you guys know, I've recently launched an end of life planner, and one of the chapters in that planner has to do with stuff. It has to do with the huge amount of added grief that people go through when someone dies that they love, and they have to go through an apartment or a house full of stuff. It is so painful on so many levels. And I'm not going to get into that at the moment, but I'm saying that to lay the foundation that ever since I wrote that chapter, I've been exploring my own relationship to stuff and my own relationship to getting organized, clearing out, how to, I mean, I hope that I'm going to live, you know, at least a decade, maybe two decades more. I really hope, maybe even three decades, who knows, right? I'm 61. However, we don't know, right? We don't know. And so I've been thinking a lot about what will happen after I die and wanting things to be simple for the people that I leave behind, particularly my son. So anyhow, when I just read this quote to you, I think the reason that I printed it out, or some elves printed it out, however it got to me, is that it's such a beautiful idea that we don't have to actually own the beauty of the world that we love, or we don't actually have to own the things that speak to us or the things that we feel connected to. It's such a, I'm just so delighted by this. And it reminded me, someone once told me, I think it was Thoreau, forgive me if it's not, but I remember vaguely someone telling me that he would walk by farms, you know, he would go take a long walk and he'd walk by farms and stand on the edge of them and just imagine them as his, you know, like in the sense of like, this is mine and I'm so lucky to have this, right? Because in that moment, actually, it is, right? And I remember practicing that, particularly when I would pass by a florist, and I still do this actually. When I pass by a florist, you know how they have buckets and buckets of beautiful, very expensive generally, flowers outside. And I have started this practice of pausing and owning, I'm putting those in quotes, right? Owning all those flowers in that moment. Because actually, right, like, what does that even mean to own something? It's such an interesting thing. But if I stand in front of those flowers and I inhale their fragrance, I see their colors, I absorb the beauty, they are mine in the moment, right? And I think this is what he's pointing to, I believe, in this poem quote, that I don't have to buy all those flowers and take them home and put them in my house, right? In fact, there's something extraordinarily beautiful, like when he says, I have a large seashell collection, which I keep scattered on beaches all over the world. It's almost like this beautiful, I want you to experience this too. It's the difference between, like, I'm thinking of this right now, like, It's the difference between, say, you're walking by a park and there's some beautiful roses and you decide, I'm not saying you would do this, but some people might, that you decide you want to snip one off and take it home so you can have it on your table, right? Like, so if everybody walks by and snips a rose from that bush, then there's not going to be roses for all the countless other people walking by to love. And I don't know. This is such an interesting thing. I'm going to just be, you know, as I hope I always am. I hope I'm always transparent with you. But like, I had no idea what I was going to talk about today. I had no idea, you know, that I was going to glance at this quote, that it was going to lead me to this. But I'm really touched by this topic because, so one of the things that's been happening this week, I think I may have told you back, way back, on Mother's Day, my son and I went through a lot of boxes of stuff that I had kept from his childhood. And it was the biggest gift he could have given me that we went through just, I don't know, probably 20 boxes of memorabilia and his school art and papers and trinkets. And he really helped me get rid of about 90% of it. And we made a binder of the things that he really wants to keep. And there were a few quote unquote trinkets that he wanted to keep, but not many. He really mostly wanted to have this binder of some writing and art and pictures that really meant a lot to him. And similarly, I had pulled out, I think I had like 7 banker boxes of childhood books. We'd actually got given a lot of his, he had hundreds of books, which I love. He's a very avid reader. And we gave a lot of them to a teacher that we knew who was setting up a library in her school. And so a lot of his books we'd already culled, but these were like the ones I couldn't get rid of or that, you know, from his earlier days, most of them are more like, what are they called? Picture books. Or really nice volumes of books, hardcover books. And so we pulled them all out and he was helping me again, you know, so he was, I was like, what am I doing? You know, I have these boxes of books that are just sitting here not being enjoyed by anybody. And we had a delightful time. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun. You know, he would pick up one. And of course, well, not of course, but I have a couple Dr. Seuss books from my own childhood that, you know, are very aged. And they're to me, they're just beautiful, the vintage look to them. And, you know, and he would pick one up and read it. And it was just so much fun. They came to life. Anyway, so we're culling through his books. And it's a similar thing, right? Like that I was saying about the flowers. It felt so good. You know, there was a pile of books that he was like, I definitely I don't want to keep these. I have no interest in bringing these into my future. You know, and of course, partly he doesn't know whether he's ever going to have kids or not, but at this point, he's thinking he may like to have a child at some point. He's only 25. So, but his criteria was, would I want to read this book to a child if I had one? And it was really delightful to take the pile that he did not want and put them in our little free library. Like, it was really gratifying in the same way that it's like this idea of, here's my seashell collection. Perhaps you've seen it on a beach near you. Like that idea of the opposite of hoarding, I guess, right? And I know, you know, I just look down and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm at 14 minutes. I like to try to keep these around 15 minutes because I want it to be kind of a quick, doable listen. And where have I gotten to? I guess maybe it's this question for you. Maybe you're someone who really doesn't keep things and This isn't even an issue, except maybe what this conversation will bring up for you is, wow, you know, I think I'm going to pause in front of that beautiful weeping willow tree, you know, down the street from me and just really bask in owning it. And again, I'm putting owning in quotation marks, but, you know, I'm going to stand in front of the ocean and offer gratitude that I own this vast body of water and, you know, can enjoy it whenever I want. You know, maybe for you, that's it. Maybe for someone else who, like me, has a tendency to save things that, quote unquote, have special meaning. Maybe this is a cue to you to really, you know, as my son often says, if you pick it up once and really enjoy it, and then you give it away, you've really had the chance to savor it in a way that you may not if it's in a box in the garage or a closet, you know, just boxed away somewhere where you may never even open that box. And I took that to heart because I did have a lot of boxes of things. And he's right. You know, he and I have had a lot of fun opening up boxes, laughing over things, and then letting them go. And this is a big process for me and, you know, one that I will be involved with for quite a while, but it feels really good. And maybe that's the question for you. Is there a box somewhere that you want to open up and maybe let go of some of the things in it? My friend Maya has been helping me a lot, and she, here's the word portal again, which is interesting, different use of it. But she will say, you know, keep one thing that is a portal to whatever it is you're trying to touch into. Like, for instance, I had a box of baby clothes that were my son's. And she said, you know, perhaps choose one, and that will be the portal into that babyhood that you're trying to connect to. But you don't need to have a box full of baby clothes. Maybe somebody could be wearing those baby clothes, right? So that kind of thought. So I don't know. Maybe there's something in here that is for you. If nothing else, I'm grateful because I feel like I'm reconnecting to this idea of being, if that is true, if that was Thoreau, and walking around the world and just really appreciating that we all own all of it. You know, that we can all appreciate and enjoy and savor, you know, the sky, that tree, you know, that rose bush in my neighbor's garden. Like, to really understand that as we're experiencing things, they're ours. And I guess that's what wanted to be said today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your beautiful, gentle, loving heart. And I know that's who you are because you wouldn't be here otherwise. Like, you know, you wouldn't be here taking time to listen to this if you weren't somebody who really wanted to connect to yourself and the world and other people in a different kind of way, in an intentional way. All right, sending you love. Bye-bye.